From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
VOI listener, wherever you are, how are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. This is Voice of Indonesia with the news, first the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo calls for respect for international law at BRICS Summit. Indonesia holds 32nd workshop on managing potential conflicts in the South China Sea. The Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs says Indonesia is safe from fierce storms in Mecca, Saudi Arabia. Now the news in detail. Indonesia will still review and consider its participation to become a member of the BRICS group or Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. This was stated by President Joko Widodo in his statement after attending the 15th BRICS summit, which was held in Johannesburg, South Africa on Thursday. The head of state said one of the processes that must be passed to become a new BRICS member is by submitting a letter of expression of interest. The president said until now, Indonesia hasn't submitted the letter. Nevertheless, Indonesia's relations with the BRICS member countries, according to the president, are currently very good, especially in the economic field.
Untuk menjadi anggota baru dari BRICS,
to become a new member of the BRICS, a country must submit a letter of expression of interest. They all must submit the letter, and until now, Indonesia has not submitted the letter. We want to study it first, calculate it first, we don't want to rush it. Our relationship with the five BRICS members is also very good, and especially in the economic field.
Mengkalkulasi terlebih dahulu, kita tidak ingin tergesa-gesa, dan juga hubungan kita dengan lima anggota BRICS juga sangat baik, dan terutama di bidang ekonomi.
President Joko Widodo attended the BRICS summit, which was held from August 22nd to the 24th, and he attended the summit on the invitation as chair of ASEAN 2023. Apart from discussing a number of issues, the BRICS summit also announced that six countries will join and become full members in 2024. Quoted from various sources, the president of South Africa, Cyril Ramaphosa, on Thursday announced the six countries are Argentina, Egypt, Iran, Ethiopia, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates. Still from Indonesian President Joko Widodo, who underlined the need for respecting international law and human rights at the BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa summit in South Africa on Thursday. He observed that the current global economic order is highly unfair, characterized by a widening development gap and an increasing number of poor and hungry people. He added, this situation cannot be left unaddressed. He emphasized that developing countries must unite to fight for their rights, while trade discrimination must be rejected and the downstream industry mustn't be hindered. Head of Foreign Policy Strategy Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Yayan Ganda Hayat Mulyana, hopes countries bordering the South China Sea will strengthen collaboration in facing common challenges. At the opening of the 32nd workshop on managing potential conflicts in the South China Sea in Anyer, Serang District, Banten on Thursday, Yayan believes this workshop is an important platform for generating collaborative ideas and initiatives to face these common challenges.
We need to tackle these challenges. We must work together, maximizing the use of science, data, technology and innovation. And it is within this context, ladies and gentlemen, the working group and today's workshop provide an important platform for sharing of experiences and project proposals on collaborative steps in response to those challenges.
Yayan further hopes the delegates will also continue to cultivate the habit of dialogue between participants to pave the way for future generations. In addition, he invites the delegates to reflect on collective efforts that can be made to make this workshop more impactful. The 32nd workshop on managing potential conflicts in the South China Sea was organized by the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs in cooperation with the Geospatial Information Agency and the Center for Southeast Asian Studies. This workshop, which was the first to be held after the COVID-19 pandemic, was attended by delegates from 12 Asian countries, some of which are countries bordering the South China Sea, namely Indonesia, Brunei Darussalam, Philippines, Malaysia, Vietnam, China, and Taiwan. Next, we have Indonesia's telemedicine industry, which is one of the fastest growing in the world. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Airlangga Hartarto, said on Thursday during a symposium on digital economy and sustainability in Jakarta. Telemedicine is the provision of healthcare services through electronic information and communication technologies. It allows patients to access healthcare services from a remote location without having to travel to a doctor's office or hospital. Hartarto said that telemedicine has become one of the industries that has made a major contribution to Indonesia's recovery from the COVID-19 pandemic. Now we move to the international news. The Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs confirmed on Thursday, August 24, that no Indonesians were harmed by a fierce rainstorm in Mecca, Saudi Arabia. The ministry said the Indonesian Consulate General in Jeddah had coordinated with local authorities and was in contact with Indonesian citizens in the area. On Wednesday, August 23, heavy rains along with thunderstorms battered most of Saudi Arabia, including the holy city of Mecca. The authorities ordered schools to remain closed due to the extreme weather. Video circulating on social media showed pilgrims taking shelter from the overnight thunderstorms. Saudi Arabia's Meteorological Center predicted the continuation of moderate to heavy thunderstorms, resulting in torrential rain accompanied by hail showers and active winds that stir up dust and sand. Malaysia's Minister of Natural Resources, Environment and Climate Change, Nik Nazmin Nik Ahmad, announced recently that civil servants are now allowed to wear batik to work every day and not just on Thursdays as mandated by the regulation. In a press statement, Nik Nazmi said the decision had taken into account the climate in Malaysia and the government's commitment to achieving net zero greenhouse gas emissions as early as 2050 by reducing the carbon footprint from the energy consumption practices. We end the news with environmental leaders from 185 countries gathered in Vancouver, Canada on Thursday to launch a fund to support global conservation, and the United Nations called for contributions to help meet goals including protection of 30% of land and coastal areas by 2030. The meeting comes 8 months after governments agreed the Kunming-Montreal Global Biodiversity Framework, what some have called the Paris Agreement for Nature, invoking the landmark 2015 United Nations Pact to tackle climate change. One of the framework's 23 targets is to help mobilize public and private sector players to funnel $200 billion per year to conservation initiatives by 2030, with developed countries contributing at least $20 billion of this every year by 2025. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Today's commentary is on King of Thailand approves Srettha Thavisin to become Prime Minister. Thailand's King Mahavajiralongkorn issued an official letter expressing his blessing and support for Srettha Thavisin, a few Thai party politician, to become the country's 30th Prime Minister. King Vajiralongkorn's letter, which was read on Wednesday, August 23rd, stated that the person concerned had legally carried out his duties as head of the Thai government. Srettha Thavisin, a real estate magnate, won parliamentary support last Tuesday, August 22nd, to become Prime Minister of Thailand. The election of Srettha Thavisin paved the way for a new coalition government and ended weeks of uncertainty and political deadlock. His homework as the new Prime Minister is to form and unite a potentially fragile coalition. It will include parties backed by the royalist military that were instrumental in overthrowing the few Thai party government in 2006 and 2014 coup. The party's leader, Thaksin Shinawatra, for example, was ousted by the military from the seat of Prime Minister in 2006 over accusations of corruption and disloyalty to the kingdom. Meanwhile, his sister, former Prime Minister Yingluck Shinawatra, was also ousted from the post of Prime Minister in a coup in 2014. There is something that attracts attention on the day of Srettha Thavisin's victory. On the same day, on Tuesday, former Prime Minister Thaksin Shinawatra returned to Thailand after years of being a fugitive in exile. He was sentenced in absentia in 2008 for abuse of power and conflict of interest. Upon arrival, Thaksin Shinawatra received a warm welcome from supporters at Bangkok Airport before being escorted by police to the Supreme Court and then to prison to serve his 8-year sentence. However, that night he was transferred from the prison to the police hospital because he could not sleep and had shortness of breath. The return of Thaksin Shinawatra and the rise of Srettha Thavisin to the top job are likely to add to speculation that there may have been a deal to allow the fugitive former Prime Minister's safe return. In addition, Thaksin Shinawatra may also be released earlier than the term he should have served. This is because the current ruling government comes from the Pheu Thai Party, which he founded. Nevertheless, Prime Minister Srettathavisin needs to embrace the royalist group of military generals, magistrates, and government officials supporting the military to avoid a complicated power conflict in Thailand. That was comment 3.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations, Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April the 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September the 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11th, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared, who knows, you become one of the winners.
From Indonesia to the world.
I'll start today in history with August the 25th, 1950, the first National Housing Day. National Housing Day has been commemorated since the holding of Healthy People's Housing Congress from August the 25th until 30th, 1950, opened by the first Vice President of the Republic of Indonesia, Muhammad Hatta. At the Congress, he conveyed the hopes of the Indonesian government to meet the housing needs of the people. Muhammad Hatta also said that as an inspiration for the implementation of people's housing needs, it is not impossible. If the Indonesian government wants to be serious and work hard, everything is possible. Later, on August 6, 2008, the decree of the State Minister of Public Housing concerning National Housing Day was issued, declaring August the 25th as National Housing Day. Turning to August the 25th, 1989. The Voyager 2 spacecraft makes it to Neptune. Voyager 2 is an unmanned spacecraft belonging to the United States, which was launched on August 20, 1977. This aircraft is identical to its sibling Voyager 1, with the difference that Voyager 2 follows a slower trajectory so that it can stay on the ecliptic path, which allowed Voyager 2 to be sent gravitationally towards Uranus and Neptune during a rendezvous with Saturn in 1981. Eventually, on August 25, 1989, the Voyager 2 spacecraft made it to Neptune. I'll end today in history with August 25, 1993, an earthquake rocks China. The earthquake, measuring 7.3 on the Richter scale, shook the Dixi area, Mao, Sichuan, China, on August 25, 1933. As a result, as many as 9,000 people were reported dead. The earthquake was one of the largest in China, injuring 1,925 people. That was today in history. Thank you.
Itulah pesta kota, seolah kita flamenco mengalun jiwa. Ku duduk terhanyut nuansa di sudut semarak Plaza Catalonia. Galas pasang mata menatapku manja, mengajak berdansa. Sapanya quiere, usted baila conmigo. Quiere darme su dirección, señorita. Ku ingin kau ajak serta malam ini. Como si pronuncia ojuita, ingin ku nyatakan cinta sepenuh kata. Mungkin esok ku kan pergi, tapi ku berjanji pasti diriku kembali untuk cinta yang tertinggal di jantung Barcelona. Peluklah diriku mesra dalam cinta sebagai pengikat rindu. Akan ku kenang selalu cintaku di Barcelona. Yeah, lo siento mucho señorita, ku harus meninggalkanmu sejenak waktu. Hapuslah air matamu kini, dua hati tak terpadu satu janji. Oh, usahkan cerita malam yang tersisa. Ku tak kuasa lagi untuk menunda waktu. Hidupku bersamamu, kecuplah diriku kasih.
Still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
And now here is today's My Indonesia on Indonesia offers solution to attract energy transition investment in ASEAN. I'm Dolat Pane. The Indonesian government through the Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Arifin Tasrif offered a solution to attract investment in energy transition to ASEAN countries. Amid the Arts and Energy Business Forum 2023 in Nusa Dua, Bali on Wednesday, the minister virtually said that sustainable energy funding is very necessary and can be achieved through mixed funding, government and corporate cooperation, and international funding. Arifin Tasrif said, based on the International Renewable Energy Agency, IRENA, to implement energy transition, nations in ASEAN need around $29 trillion US dollar funding until 2050 with 100% renewable energy scheme. The investment is for renewable energy power plant development, national and international distribution transmission, vegetable oil fuel supply storage, electrification, electric vehicles, charging stations, as well as manpower and operational cost. Considering the big fund, the budget comes not only from the government, but it also needs a partnership with private and industry investors. To encourage private investment, the government attempts to support by preparing incentives, policy frameworks, and transparent investment procedures. Arifin Tasrif added that energy transition also requires clean energy and low-carbon tech, such as carbon capture, utilization, and storage. As a support from the policy regulation, there is the Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Regulation No. 2/2023 about carbon capture, utilization, and storage in upstream oil and gas business activity. The regulation aims to support the upstream oil and gas sector performance with low carbon emission and increasing production. Minister Arifin reaffirmed that ASEAN countries have agreed on developing renewable energy development and energy security in handling climate change by developing renewable energy to long-term map for eco-friendly tax. Arifin believed a stronger partnership in ASEAN countries as governments and industries will improve energy security and clean energy development to carbon neutrality. That was my Indonesia.
Bila kau ada waktu, lihat aku di sini.
Bernyanyi.
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom. VOI listener, Indonesian President Joko Widodo was wearing Ageman Songkok Singkepan Ageng at the 78th Indonesian Independence Day ceremony at the Merdeka Palace on August 17, 2023. Ageman clothes are usually worn by the kings of Pakubuwono Surakarta Hadiningrat in the Enggar Egar Soho Tedak Loji event. The clothes are usually worn when the king steps out of the palace to see the condition of the kawulo or community in person. Deputy for Press, Protocol and Media of the Presidential Secretariat, Bey Mahmudin, explained that Enggar Egar Soho Tedak Loji is an event when the king comes out of the palace on a horse-drawn carriage and guarded by the palace apparatus to see the condition of the community in person. In its implementation, the king distributes money and food along the way as a sense of love for his kawulo or people, or it is known as turuba, means down to the bottom. For the people of Surakarta, the outfit implies that the wearer is the supreme commander of the soldiers. Therefore, President Joko Widodo deserves to wear the clothes of the King of Surakarta Palace because he is the Commander-in-Chief of the Republic of Indonesia. In the meantime, the First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo was wearing Balinese traditional clothes to commemorate the Republic of Indonesia's 78th anniversary at the Merdeka Palace. For the record, President Joko Widodo frequently wore traditional clothes every time he attended the Independence Commemoration Ceremony of the Republic of Indonesia. In 2022, President Joko Widodo wore traditional clothes from Buton, Southeast Sulawesi. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Masihkah kau mengingat di saat kita masih 17? Waktu di mana tanggal-tanggal merah terasa sungguh meriah. Masihkah kau ingat cobaan terberat kita matematika? Masihkah kau ingat lagu di radio yang merdu mengudara? Kita masih sebebas itu, rasa takut yang tak pernah mengganggu. Batas naluri bahaya, dulu tingginya lebih logika. Waktu yang terus berjalan menempa kita. Walau kini kita terpisah, namun jiwaku tetap di sana.
Di masa masih sebebas itu,
di masa rasa takut yang tak pernah mengganggu. Di masa naluri bahaya,
woo!
kuasa kita abadi untuk selama-lamanya.
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany. VOI listener, milk has been widely known in the community as animal-based milk, while soy milk is made from soybeans. People rarely hear of tempeh-based milk, perhaps because it is overshadowed by soy milk. In fact, tempeh bean cake is a food that is cheap and delicious to eat. A student of Diponegoro University or UNDIP in Semarang, Central Java, Bramantia Kurniawan, has made a processed tempeh product into high-protein milk. The product name, sumpeh. It is an abbreviation of the words milk and tempeh. Sumpeh is an innovation that was created because processed tempeh was only used as tempeh chips in Karangsari village, Kendal district, where he was completing a field study there. This was prompted Bram to think about how to diversify tempeh in this village. Finally, an idea came to his mind to make a new product made from processed tempeh, which of course nutritious and has high business opportunities. The amino acid content in tempeh milk can reach 24 times that of soy milk. The other nutritional content in tempeh milk includes fiber, vitamin B, and also. The amino acid content in tempeh milk can reach 24 times that of soy milk. The other nutritional content in tempeh milk includes fiber, vitamin B, and also carbohydrates. In tempeh itself, there is already a yeast processed by Rhizopus, in which this microorganism helps break down the nutritional value content in tempeh so it can be easily digested by the body when consumed. In contrast to soy milk, there is no yeast process, so it will be more difficult for the body to digest. Besides, there are also quite a lot of benefits, including to cure diarrhea because tempeh milk is an antibiotic for diarrhea germs. Tempeh milk is also proven to reduce bad cholesterol. Tempeh milk is made by chopping a whole tempeh into small pieces. Tempeh is blended and filtered. The results of the blender are squeezed using a cloth until the water comes out. The water is brought to a boil with sugar and other flavorings. After curdling, the tempeh milk is ready to consume. Well, that's Miscellany from Voice of Indonesia talking about tempeh-based dairy product innovation.
Berperan, kau dan Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April the 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September the 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared, who knows, you become one of the winners.
From Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, today's Music Corner, I'm going to present a folk song from Bali entitled Jangi Janger. The song which was composed by I Gede Dharma, a song that accompanies a social dance danced by a pair of teenagers. This song describes the joy and optimism of young men and women in Bali. Besides that, the lyrics give a warm atmosphere from the countryside in the Bali area. As a dance accompaniment, this song also functions to enliven the atmosphere and entertain the audience present. Here is the folk song from Bali entitled Jangi Janger, sung by Novia Bahmit and rearranged by Alfi.
Oh,
Of Indonesia.
Listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.